These masks do make it difficult. But good morning and welcome. Good to see all of you across the camera as we gather here at Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Toronto for a day of worship, a time of worshiping our great God. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We're journeying through the season of Advent, the Sundays of Advent, with a focus on worship. And so today we'll be continuing some of the themes of last week and moving on with the theme of lips of praise. So join us as we worship today. We begin with God's greeting from Isaiah chapter 41. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers on the bare heights and mountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water, so that all may see and know, all may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. Let's worship and bow down to our God.
Hear our call to worship. Let us worship God, for whom our souls thirst and our bodies long. We have come to hear the word God has sent. God's word will not return empty, but will accomplish through us his holy purpose. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Then we will go out with joy and be glad, and we'll lead forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will sing, the trees of the field will clap their hands.
Lord, we have denied you by refusing to know you. We have betrayed you by keeping our distance. We have mocked you by pretending we are not yours. Lord, we cry out to you. We are lost. Let your forgiveness find us. Welcome us into your strong, forgiving heart, and let us feel reconciled again. Amen.
Maker of heaven, creator of the earth,
Hear the assurance of pardon. While we kept silence, our bodies wasted away. Through our groaning all day long, for night and day, your hand was heavy upon us. Our strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then we acknowledged our sin to you. We did not hide our iniquities. We said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of our sin. And now we proclaim to the heavens, thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, I would encourage you to open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 63. And I'm going to read just four verses there. And then I'm going to go over to Hebrews chapter 13 and read one verse in Hebrews 13. Psalm 63, I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. O God, you are my God, and I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will call upon your name. I will lift up my hands. And then from Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Will you pray with me, please? Our dear God, you have proven yourself to be worthy of our praise, and as we open up your scripture this morning to look at this idea, this beautiful ability you've asked us for to praise you, we thank you, Lord, that we may do so and ask that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit your word in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these two passages, Psalm 63 and Hebrews 13, have two obvious things in common. They both talk about lips and they both talk about praise. Lips of praise is our topic for today, but these two verses also take us beyond this hour that we gather for praising, and into living lives of praise. And that's what I'd like to examine with you today. So we're continuing on with our Epiphany focus on worship. And many of you have sent me replies this past week and the past 2 weeks to my many entreaties that you participate in the Calvin Worship Symposium. Particularly, you've sent me experiences of your time in worship, and I've very much appreciated that. And I've really benefited and enjoyed the richness of the worship symposium. It wraps up this week, in the middle of this week. So you still have opportunity to share in this. Some of what I will share today comes from other insights gained from the symposium, in particular a presentation by Matthew Kamick and Corey Wilson by a book that they have recently written about worship. So last Sunday, we discussed the heart, and We looked at the heart of the worshiper from the perspective of us as individual worshipers. And I'd like to pick up today and expand on that idea as we look at this idea of our lips of praise. And lips, like every other body part, receive their lifeblood from the heart. Without the heart, the lips and every other part of the body wouldn't last very long at all. So first, let's think a little bit more about the heart. A healthy heart constantly pumps and pulsates. It beats with a predictable and consistent rhythm. It's a systolic and diastolic movement, a gathering and a scattering. And that's how the entire body receives life-giving oxygen. At specific moments, the heart valves must tighten and then they must release. This opening and closing draws blood in and propels it out. And without this rhythm, this constant rhythm, the blood would quickly stagnate. It would become static and stale. Without the heart's dynamic force, the pull and the push, the gather and the scatter, the blood, the heart, and the entire body begin to decay and ultimately die. Well, the church has a collective heart as well, a composite heart comprised of many human hearts. The heart of the church blazes as brightly as the sum of the individual hearts. And worship is our heartbeat. We can see this heart very clearly in action in the New Testament picture of the church in Acts 13, verse 2. It's the church in Antioch, and they gathered, we are told, in worship and in fasting. Their corporate heart, their collective heart, was blazing as they worshiped. Now, interestingly, the word for worship here is the word from which we get our word liturgy, the word we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And it's the only place in the New Testament where the word liturgy is used similarly to the way we use it, that is, for a gathering of collective church together in worship. What we refer to often as our liturgy. God gathered the Antioch church together. God spoke. The people responded. And the Holy Spirit pushed them out into dynamic mission, the gospel mission to the Gentiles. There was a drawing in and a propelling out. This is a model for our own corporate discernment as a church as well, even as you did before I was here several years ago in discerning a new direction for this church. You gathered to hear God speak, and you went out in mission. When we discuss worship in this way, like David did in the 63rd Psalm, our minds are drawn to the sanctuary. David says, I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. 3 weeks ago, we reflected on the 93rd Psalm, and the writer similarly described a vision of King Yahweh, robed in majesty and girded with strength. And so here in the 63rd Psalm, David says that it's in the sanctuary where he beheld God's power and God's glory. Whether literally or figuratively, we do not know. As I've been preparing this sermon in my own personal daily Bible readings, I happen to be in the book of Revelation, and I happen to be just this past week in that part of Revelation, chapters 4 and 5, where the heavenly throne room is described in great detail, and cries of holy, holy, holy are heard to fill the heavenly court. I was taken many times to my knees in praise. Well, like David, we have known such times, whether we come expectantly or not, we have known such times where we met God in worship. God in his glory, God in his goodness, God in his mercy, God in his steadfast love. We met him and our lives were not the same. We met him and our lips responded in praise. We praise God for who he is. We praise God for his steadfast love. We praise God for Jesus, not just at Christmas, but every day of the year. We praise God for his faithfulness, which gives us hope. We praise God for his purposes, which give our lives meaning. And so we come into worship, virtually now, but still expectant that we will look upon God and he will look upon us. David continues, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you, and I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call upon your name. He says, your steadfast love is better than life, and it is better than life in every way. It is better than life in quality. It is better than life in depth. And it is better than life in duration, because God's love endures not just for our lifetime here, but through all eternity. And it is our assurance of our future eternity. So we come into worship virtually today, but still expectant that we will look upon God and he will look upon us. God invites us into worship and he speaks. This is one half of the rhythm of worship, the liturgy of worship. The other half is our response, lips that bless, hands that are raised, lips that praise and call upon the name of our good Father God. But then finally, after the service of this type ends, we are sent out from worship again. Kamenk and Wilson continue with these words. Like a healthy heart, worship has no interest in holding people statically inside the sanctuary. Worship is concerned with the rhythmic movement of the people. This movement of souls is essential to the health of both worship and the worshiper. Like a heartbeat, if worship stalls, worshippers struggle to access the life-giving oxygen of the Holy Spirit. Everything begins to decay. The worship, the worshipers, and the community itself. Like a heartbeat, worship must be constantly gathering and scattering people in and out. Worship gathers people in from the world like a fisherman gathering up nets or a farmer harvesting grain. In the same way, worship scatters people out into the world to mingle it like leaven in the dough, to give it savor like salt, to irradiate it like light. End of quote. After our time of being gathered for praise, we will leave here today sent off to the liturgy, the rhythm of a Sunday. A Sunday has its own particular rhythm, doesn't it? Perhaps you pine whimsically for the well-defined Sundays of your childhood. If you grew up in a Christian home, Sundays had a very well-defined rhythm to them, totally separate from the rest of the week. You likely knew it as a Sabbath, but if you grew up in a preacher's home, it was quite the opposite. Had an altogether different liturgy. I grew up in a preacher's home. The rhythm of a Sunday started on Saturday night with the preparations for lunch and dinner the next day, which started the night before, the baking of two pies, one of which would be ceremonially eaten at lunch, the other at dinner, and the preparations of getting the children ready, and of course my father putting those final touches on the sermon, but also checking out the weather report to see if it was going to snow overnight and making sure he knew the schedules for the Viking and the Packer games the next day. Then we would get to Sunday and we would be the first ones to leave, and we only had one car, so we'd all go together. And of course we were the first ones there, and if there was snow shoveling to be done, we did the snow shoveling. Then we'd get inside and my mother would start the preparations for the children's class and my father the preparations for the adult class, and we would have those classes and then we would assemble as a church and my father would give a sermon. We would come home and we would invariably have a guest for lunch, and we would divide up that pie into however how many people were there at lunch. And then my father would rush off and usually pack my brother and I with him, and we would go off to where he would deliver that same sermon again for a few precious souls gathered 50 miles away who didn't have a church to go to, so he would go there. Then come back and hope, if he was lucky, he would hear some of the football game on the way back, and then we would have a rushed dinner and we would divide up that other pie, usually just the four of us at this point. And then we would drive on to church, and my father would try to get the last notes out of the radio for that football game. And then he would preach another sermon. And you know what? I don't remember anything of the Sundays. It's when we got home, because I'm sure they put us to bed just as quickly as possible so they could collapse into bed exhausted. That was the rhythm of our Sundays in those days. It was a workday rhythm, to be sure. Well, your workday has its own very different rhythm. And the psalmist is one step ahead of us here, because David has already described his workplace as a wilderness, a dry and weary land where there is no water. Does that sound like a workplace you've ever been in? Does that sound like your week as you've experienced it? For so many people, work is a wasteland, a place of growing weariness, a drought of the soul. David's desert was literal. Ours can be figurative, but it can be just as real. So how do we keep our lips praising when they are cracked and dry? The rhythm of the workday contains the music of alarm clocks and of tightly condensed rituals of multiple meal preparations in the morning and rushed coffee cups and the jangling of nerves. It includes rushed greetings to our neighbors as we pile into cars. It moves to the rhythm and the noise of the street and the highway as you commute to a daily place of work. And once there, you add to the music the greetings with other participants in their daily ritual, one combined daily ritual now. And for 8 hours or so, you put your mind and your body and your soul into that thing for which you get paid. Then you reverse the ritual and you return, and again, entering the complementary rhythms of life at home with all of its demands. And maybe, just maybe in the evening, there's a moment of solitude, of connecting with your God. And if you're retired or unemployed or a student, your work days will have their own unique rhythm to them. It reminds me, as I was thinking of this, of a wonderful scene in the 2000 movie August Rush. Do you remember that movie? August Rush was the name of the boy. His real name was Evan Taylor. Actually, his assigned name was Evan Taylor, but his real name was August Rush. And he goes to New York City, and he finds the rhythm of life in his first day in New York City. Let's look at that video together now. Well, I'm sorry I couldn't show you that video. What happens is Evan catches the rhythm of the sound of the city in a transcendent sort of way. But just as he's going to break into song, just as he catches the rhythm and is about to break into song, an ill wind destroys the atmosphere and he's taken on to other things. Well, that's how often life feels right now. In this pandemic lockdown, our daily rhythms have been altered again, and many of the people we rely on are kept from us. We're in a lonely wilderness in the midst of the busy city. But take note, even in the wilderness, David was still a worshiper. His soul still sought God. His body still craved God. And David was such a vibrant worshiper that 3,000 years later, we're still brought into God's presence by the poems that he comprised in his desert worship experiences. Well, last week, we talked about the crucial need to keep your heart fires going throughout the week. And this week, we focus on keeping your lips praising throughout the week, not just in the sanctuary we call church. This is done in the liturgy of life. If you find this difficult in the weeks that you have, know that it has always been so. It's always been difficult to maintain a posture of worship through the week. The challenges of life have always taken people away from their center, away from God. So the church responded to that a very, very long time ago with something called the divine hours. And the divine hours are simply fixed times of prayer throughout the day. This is a way that Christians have prayed since the earliest times, praying at set times throughout the day. The prayers don't have to be long. They just have to serve to reconnect you to God, to your life source. So let me suggest a couple of things that might help you pray at set times throughout the week. For content, Phyllis Tickle, before she died, produced prayer resources to help you pray the divine hours. They're simply called the divine hours, and they're broken up into three separate books that cover the entire year to match the rhythms of our year. You can use this then to pray throughout the day and throughout the year. The second is simply to put a timer on your phone. The timer will remind you when it's time to pray throughout the day. And that's what I do. And you'll hear my phone going off in the middle of afternoon because I need a reminder to stop the busyness of the day and to go back and connect again with God. A set time of prayer provides an opportunity to praise God in the challenges of our day. A set time of prayer in the middle of your workday allows you to stop and offer priestly prayers of intercession for your home, your school, your office, and of course your colleagues as you're in the middle of your daily challenges. But of course, having lips of praise does not just refer to praying and singing, because the main use we make of our lips is just plain old talking, and this too is to be praiseworthy. Do our words build up or tear down our listeners? Do they encourage or discourage? Are they for our benefit or are they for the benefit of others? Do they glorify God or dishonor him? Well, in the verse we read from Hebrews 13, verse 15, the writer is likewise concerned about our words. It says, through Jesus, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. The name of Jesus should regularly be on our lips. Confessing the name of Jesus is a blessing to our hearers and is an acceptable sacrifice to God, a sacrifice of praise. The writer is not talking about temple worship or church worship here. No, he had just finished telling his audience, let us then go to Jesus outside the camp and bear the disgrace he endured. Outside the camp is a metaphor parallel to the dry and weary land of Psalm 63. It is the place where we must go to go about our daily responsibilities. But it is often a place where our souls are starved of sustenance. And that is why we must keep going back to our oxygen source, going back in worship. One final quote from Kamenk and Wilson. In its diastolic function, worship gathers workers so that they might offer their working lives to God and so that God might offer his work to them. But in its systolic function, worship does the opposite. It sends them out with a great work that must be extended into the city. Worship scatters workers transformed by the work and word of the Lord throughout the city to be salt and light wherever they have been called. Worship blesses and commissions workers so that they may go out into their various careers and calling with systolic force. Worship sends us outside the camp to bear witness to Jesus with his name and praise on our lips. Worship scatters workers so that they can extend Sunday worship into Monday's world. Worship does not cease come Monday, quite the opposite. As disciples, we continue to worship God in a new way on Monday through its daily routines and rhythms. You know, we sing, your praise will ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, which reminds me of the one thing I just hate about this pandemic. I can't sing. I'm not allowed to sing. How many times have I been walking in a public place and started singing and I have to stop myself? But just as with our Sunday gatherings, the praise, the prayers, and the worship need not cease. We just have to get creative and get our lips of praise engaged from behind the mask. We thank God that he gathers us together in worship in the way that we're gathered today. Our souls need it, and we are refreshed in body and mind and spirit as we gather. But we don't stay here in this place. We're sent out again into a world that needs our fresh, oxygenated blood in its midst. So keep the name of Jesus and his praise always on your lips throughout the week. And may the praise of Jesus always be on your lips, even behind the mask. Will you pray with me, please? Our dear God, we thank you that you invite us into worship. We thank you you gather us for worship. We thank you that you send us out again, reinvigorated, reoxygenated for the week ahead of us. Lord, keep us in an attitude of worship as we go. Keep us, please, praising you with our lips and with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you pray with me, please? Our dear God, we come at your invitation by the name of Jesus, we come with the help of your Holy Spirit, and we lift up the prayers of this congregation, this people of God in this place. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we have known you to be worthy of praise. We praise you for who you are, a great God, a God of steadfast love which started long before we were here and exists long before after, and is indeed our hope of eternal life. Dear God, we praise you because you have shown us who you are in Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We praise you that you loved us enough to send Jesus to this earth to walk with us and to show us how to walk on this earth. We praise you that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us on a daily basis. We praise you for the work you have done for us in Jesus Christ on the cross in saving us and securing for us an eternal redemption. We praise you, Lord, because you are good and you are worthy of all of our praise. And Lord, we have many concerns during this time of pandemic. We pray for our world, Lord, that you would help us to get beyond this pandemic. It feels like a war that just keeps dragging on, and we need your help, Lord. Many people of the world need your help. We all know someone who is sick right now from COVID. Lord, we lift them up before you. We name them before you now. Lord, we ask that you would save them. We ask that you would spare them. But Lord, we know that there's so many more people that are sick around the world, and many without the help that we have here, the health resources that we have here. So we lift up, Lord, the poor nations of this earth and ask that you would spare them the ravages of this pandemic. We lift them up before you now. Lord, we pray for good government. We pray for our government to make wise decisions during this time. Decisions about COVID, decisions about the economies, decisions, Lord, that affect many people. We ask that they would be moved to pay particular attention not to what's going to get them a vote, but to the people who most need the help that only the government is in a position to provide right now. Lord, we ask that you would give them wisdom, but we also ask that you would give them open, generous hearts. We pray for our neighbors to the south as they have been badly divided. We pray, Lord, for unity in replace of division and to replace division in their nation there. Likewise, Lord, we pray for other nations who have gone through painful elections or are going through much political turmoil right now. We pray for them, Lord, and ask that you would spare them and ask in particular for the people that need justice, that you would bring justice through their governments there. Lord, in our own congregation, we just want to thank you for your steadfast love and the way you've kept us during this time of pandemic. You've been very, very kind to us, and we appreciate it so much. We thank you for your faithfulness over the past year in so many ways. And Lord, we continue to tell you that you are our hope. You are what we need for the future. You are what we need to sustain. And Lord, it reminds us just of the difficulties that your church worldwide must be having for all the difficulties we have, your worldwide church has as well. So Lord, we ask and pray for your church that you would protect it, that you would sustain it, that you would cause it to grow during this time. We pray, Lord, that hearts will be turned to you during this time and that people will see their need for you and that you are our only hope. Lord, we have other needs in this congregation as well, and we lift them up before you now. We continue to pray for Alice, that you would be kind to her, and that you would continue to reduce the size of that tumor, and that you would strengthen her body, even as she continues to go through chemotherapy treatments. Lord, we ask that you would heal her from the ravages of this cancer. And Lord, we ask for our friend Dirk as he begins intensive treatments this week, 4 weeks of intensive treatments. Lord, we ask that you give him courage. We ask that you'd keep him healthy to face the treatments. We ask that you would make him and Alkia strong as they go into this time. And may it be, Lord, a time where they know your presence so closely to them. Lord, we thank you for your continued care for others who have been sick. For Lindsay, we thank you that she's able to go back to work. We thank you for your care for Willie and your care for Betty. And we pray that Betty especially would know your presence as she's been so long without a visit from any of us. Lord, we ask and pray that you would continue to help us to learn about you, to experience you throughout the week, our weeks of worship and our weeks of learning and our weeks of being together even as we are separate. We ask that you would help us to take care of one another and to show your love to each other and to our neighbors and especially to those who have no one else. For all these things we pray in the gracious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We continue to worship God with our tithes and offerings. And we thank you for the opportunity to give, and we thank you especially, congregation, for the faithfulness you've shown in giving, not just to our own church, but to causes around the world. And our first offering, of course, is for the congregation here. Our second offering is for Resonate Global Mission and the Nehemiah Project, which serves the people of Nicaragua so well. Our second offering next week will be for Redeemer University, just down the road in Ancaster, and for their ongoing work in educating students in a Christian way. Thank you for your contributions. I would now like to send you off with this prayer and then a blessing. God of love, as in Jesus Christ you gave yourself to us, so may we give ourselves to you, living according to your holy will. Keep our feet firmly in the way where Christ leads us. Make our mouths speak the truth that Christ teaches us. Fill our bodies with the life that is Christ within us. In the coming days, Lord, let us lift up our hands. Let our lips sing praises to you and glorify your name. Amen. And now, congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May his love be always in your hearts and his praise ever on your lips. To him be glory both now and forever. And everybody in the congregation said, Amen. One last song and then we will go.